One of the things that is unique and sets the church apart from other organizations that do wonderful works is this. It's the Word of God. There are many terrific organizations in our communities that are out doing great work, but the reason that separates us is because of what we believe. And the reason that every week that we gather is we gather under the Word of God. We don't gather under the one who speaks it, but we gather under the one who wrote it. And I want to read to us 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, what equips us for our works is the Word of God, because it's the God who created the heavens and the earth, who hung every star in the sky. That's whose word we come to hear today, the word that guides us. And so before we hear the word of God, let us go and ask God's blessing upon us hearing it and upon me speaking it. Will you pray with me? Father, we are in awe. You have created the heavens and the earth. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You parted a way when there was no way in the Red Sea. You raised Jesus from the dead. You provided manna in the desert. And we know you. We can call you Abba, Father. We can come here as imperfect people in an imperfect world to worship a perfect God. Father, you know that right now the world is moving at a million miles an hour, whether it is shopping or whether it is acts of terror. But Lord, the one thing that doesn't change is you. Your word says that you were the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to your truth today, that this would not be a religious exercise of just sitting. But Lord, our hearts would be open, our minds would be open to the truth, that we are not just to be hearers of this word, but we are to be doers of this word. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Father, because Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Father, we come here because we've fallen short. And Father, you know the sin that is in me, that I have fallen short. And Father, I pray that your word, Lord, would speak to us today. That those that need comforting, Lord, I pray that you would bring comfort. To those that need convicting, I pray, Lord, that you would bring conviction. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to come worship under your word by the power of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fall new upon each and every one of us today, and that, Lord, we would hear you speaking. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, we have kicked off our Give It Away campaign this week. It's been a great week. We were able to provide about a zillion cookies to the Pine Creek staff this week, so I want to thank the Soul Sisters and everybody who baked, and Felicia who did such a great job in the presentation. If you saw any of the pictures, you know that the presentation was just amazing, and what a really cool opportunity to bless the wonderful staff here at Pine Creek. So they got cookies, and I don't know if you know this, but every teacher had a bag with their name on it that had cookies in it, and it just said, "Merry Christmas, thanks for what you do from Three Timbers." So the Soul Sisters did a great job. Last night, we went out Christmas caroling here in the Pine Creek neighborhood. We were blessed to get a big hay rack that was donated to us by the Bennington Pines. And so we loaded up and we went around and we were singing. And I have to say, we were awesome. Can I just say that? I mean, you know, you've heard of this group Pentatonix. They can't come close to what we had going on last night. We did an awesome job, and I'm not just bragging because I was a part of it, but we were just amazing. I mean, there was harmony, there was all kinds of, it was great stuff. And the people were really, you know, mostly very receptive. You know, once they realized we weren't selling anything, you know, they were pretty good. We sent the children up, you know, because, you know, that's how we plot as Christians and Presbyterians. We sent the pretty children up, knock on the door, look sad, and have a candy cane. And they did, and at least people came out or called Child Protective Services. And so once we got them out, we would sing. And, you know, I mean, we knocked it out of the park on the singing perspective. And again, most people were pretty good. We had a few interesting folks, that's to say, like, you know, we sent the kids up to one house and said, hey, we're here from Three Timbers, and we're going to sing Christmas carols. And they went, okay, and just closed the door and just went right back in the house. So we didn't really know what to do on that moment. But I think my favorite moment last night is we were kind of on this street, and there was a house here that we were going to sing to, and then there was a house here, and the house here had like a garage open, and it had a TV in it, and it had the lights off. So that guy was in his garage just with the TV on, okay. And so we're over here, and we're singing, and we're doing a great job, and the guy on this side kind of comes out, and he just kind of looks, and he kind of goes back in, and he hits the remote, and the garage door just slowly just comes right down. He'd had enough. You know, I was like, wow. And we sounded good. I mean, we were on that. We were absolutely on that. And I thought, this guy, he's just missing the blessing of Christmas right now, because we'll sing louder. You know, we'll just come to your door, and we'll just keep singing. And, you know, when I think about it, I think there's a lot of people in life who do that. They kind of put the garage door down, and they miss the blessing of Christmas. And that garage door can kind of be symbolic for, I really don't want to know what Christmas is about other than, you know, shopping for presents and Christmas lights and decorations and cookies. And see, if we're going to give it away, if we're going to give Christmas away, we really have to understand the blessing to those so that we can help those folks who have kind of put the garage door down in their life, that they really don't understand or don't want to understand what Christmas is really about. So we're going to continue in our Give It Away Luke 1 kind of sermon series, and we want to really focus on today understanding the blessing of Christmas. Not just the lower story blessing, but what is the upper story blessing of Christmas? So we're going to open back up to Luke 1. If you've got your Bibles, open up to Luke 1. We're taking a break from the story, but we still have story books in the back. If you haven't gotten one, it's a great Christmas gift for kids, adults, teens. Please get one. We're also going to have a very special gift for all the kids on Christmas Eve. It's the Christmas story that we're going to be giving out, so it's just going to be great. I want to encourage you to do that. So as we go from Luke 1, let's go back to review a little bit what happened last week. You remember Zechariah the priest, he and his wife Elizabeth so wanted a child, were very old, couldn't have a child, and then by God's divine plan, as a priest, you get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go into the Holy of Holies and present burnt offerings, and he goes in. The angel Gabriel comes and says that God has heard your prayer, and we believe that there was a twofold prayer. First, that the Messiah would come because Zechariah and Elizabeth were called righteous before God, so we believe that his first prayer was that the Messiah would come, and his second prayer was that he and his wife at an older age could have a child. And when we look at the construction of that sentence, the angel Gabriel said, your prayer has been heard, period. New sentence, you and your wife will have a son and you will call him John. So he gets that. Well, now Zechariah kind of has that moment where he says, that sounds great, but he says to Gabriel, well, how's that going to work out? You know, we're kind of old. And Gabriel says, are you going to really question me standing in the presence of an angel in the army of God? Like, really, dude? And so Zechariah is silenced. He cannot speak until his son is born. Well, Luke then kind of lays out how Gabriel, who's been very busy, Gabriel now appears to Mary and says that you will be with child, and he will be the Messiah, and he will save people from their sins. And it's really interesting how Luke contrasts. Zechariah says, how can this be? Mary says, how will this be? Mary had the faith to say, how will this be? As improbable as it seems that I am young, I am a virgin, I'm not married. How will this be? Zechariah says, how can this be? And so we see that the angel comes and explains this. And this is where we really want to pick up in verse 39. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. With that backdrop, the angel has just appeared to Mary, has just said the most unbelievable news. And Luke goes on and says this. At that time, and that's connecting back to all that we just covered. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." You know, Luke is really writing, remember, to Theophilus, who we believe was a wealthy Gentile believer who is supporting Luke's ministry of reaching others with the truth about Jesus. Last week we talked about the promise of Christmas. This week we're talking about the blessing of Christmas. And so Luke really trying to help Theophilus and his readers trust what they were taught about who Jesus is and what God is doing to redeem his people. So he says, at this time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town. Now, Mary was excited. Mary was probably scared. Mary was probably overwhelmed. So she got ready and she hurried and she goes to this town. Now, we sometimes just gloss over that and go, oh, okay, that's not a big deal. But do you know that Mary had to go 50 to 70 miles? They didn't have cars or planes or trains. So Mary would have to probably walk 50 to 70 miles by herself after just having the angel Gabriel kind of drop this amazing news on her. It would probably take her 2 to 3 days. But the interesting thing is, when you get a message from God, when you really understand that God is doing something in your life, when God reveals to you his upper story plan and how you are going to be a part of God's upper story plan, you can't keep that to yourself. You have got to go out and you are going to share people, and you're going to walk a long distance. You're going to go a long way to let people know what God is doing in your life. She had to tell somebody, you can't believe what God is going to do in my life. Now, we may not get the news that Mary got, but God's doing something in all of our lives. God has answered prayers in each and every one of our lives. God has opened doors in each and every one of our lives. God has provided second chances in each and every one of our lives. Do we, like Mary, go to extreme measures to let people know what God is doing in our lives? That's what Mary did. And it says that when she came, she greeted Elizabeth. So here comes Mary, who many believe was probably a teenager at best. And we know that Elizabeth is much older. And it says there's a greeting. Now, there's two ways that she could have greeted her cousin. Hey, how you doing? Or, you aren't going to believe what just happened to me. And then goes on and on and on and on and on. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that it was probably a pretty extensive greeting. It was probably a huge greeting. You aren't going to believe what just happened. This angel came to me and the angel said, I'm going to have a baby. And that this baby is going to be the Messiah. And the Messiah is going to save us from our sin. She must have just gone on and on and on and on. And listen to how Luke describes the response. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you tell me, does hi, how you doing, kind of elicit a filled with the Holy Spirit, leaped with joy kind of you? No. So this must have been, I can't stop talking about what God is doing right now. I can't stop talking about what God has told me, what's going to happen, how God is using me for his upper story plan. This is amazing what God is doing. I'm so excited. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so scared. And the reaction that it puts on Elizabeth, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby leaped in her womb. Now, we know that baby is John, soon to be John the Baptist. The baby was 6 months old, and the baby leaps. Now, stay with me on this. Many scholars would tell you that that was John the Baptist's first act of preparing the way for the Lord. That he knew that he was in the presence of the Messiah. Because remember what it says in Luke 1:15, the angel told Zechariah that this baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So by the divine hand of God, this baby, still in the womb, 6 months, could sense that he was in the presence of God, the presence of the Messiah. John had an anointing on his life that we read about earlier in Luke's gospel, and we know what Jesus was sent here for. And so we see this reaction and how the Holy Spirit just filled Elizabeth. She was absolutely overwhelmed. Her reaction was amazing. And we see what Mary came and she kept telling Elizabeth what God was doing. We see Elizabeth's reaction. We see John's reaction. And I tell you, it's so cool when God does something that you didn't expect God to do. Now, Jackie and I did not talk this week about this message. We didn't spend 15 hours going through all of our notes and everything like that. But you know what it says in my notes? That all of them knew that they were instruments and not ornaments. Now, come on. You don't think God wants us to know that today? That we had no conversation, and in all my notes, I was writing that God has called us, the first part of the blessing of Christmas, is to be an instrument of His love and not an ornament. I mean, Jackie's up here talking, and I'm like, I might as well just go home. I mean, I'm done. I got no juice. I mean, you got it all. But you hit it right on the head. Ornaments, they look pretty. They hang there. They're great. They come out once in a while. But instruments do something. Instruments have a function. And in my case, musical instruments produce a sound. They produce something, and music moves people. I love music. I'm horrible at music. And anybody who was with us last night, if they said that I even sounded good, they're lying to you. Tell them to repent, okay? Because I was horrible. I have no talent at all. I love music. I listen to music. I listen to instrumental music when I read. I listen to instrumental music when I type. I love music because music has the ability to move you emotionally. It has the ability to inspire you. There was a study done about what music moves people the most, and the number one answer consistently has been soundtracks, instrumental soundtracks. Think about your favorite movie and the music bed that's going underneath. It just brings tears to your eyes. They don't have emotional moments without music because music moves you. Well, what produces music? Instruments. Whether they're instruments like this or instruments of our voice. See, what Mary and Elizabeth and John the Baptist understood was that they were instruments of God's love. They weren't going to be ornaments. Mary could have been an ornament and just said, hey, that's great news. I'm just going to keep that to myself. See, we sometimes can become ornaments at Christmas. And we don't share the true blessing of Christmas with other people. We allow people to put the garage door down. Sometimes, can I say, do we put the garage door down? And we don't share. Man, you can't believe what God is doing in my life, what God's doing in my heart, what God, this is awesome. I got to tell you, when we do that, we become an instrument. It's an amazing thing. And we see that Elizabeth's reaction, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, a really cool thing happens. We see what happens in Luke or in Acts when Luke writes about how at Pentecost so many were filled with the Holy Spirit and they gave their lives to Christ. That when we truly understand the blessing of Christmas and we receive the promise of Christmas, we can become an instrument of God's love. But listen to what this says. And it says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed. Do you know what she's doing? She's singing. Elizabeth is singing. In a loud voice. She is singing. Mary has just come and told her this amazing news. She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and she begins to sing. And listen to what she sings. She says this. She says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. She starts singing to her little cousin. Remember, if Elizabeth is much older in age, and we see that Mary's so young, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the generation gap goes away when it comes to believers. And she starts singing, blessed are you among women, blessed are you with the child you will bear. See, what Mary is singing about is not that Mary is, oh, she's so special, she's so perfect. No, Mary is blessed because of what God is doing through her. What God is doing through her, that's the blessing that Elizabeth is singing about. Elizabeth is not saying, oh, Mary, you're so great. Look, I grew up Catholic, staunch Irish Catholic in the Northeast, okay? Which meant there was a statue of Mary in my grandmother's house, my great-grandmother's house, and when you walked by that thing, you better real quick or you're in trouble. And sometimes Mariology, Mary is lifted up as if Mary was divine in some way. Mary wasn't divine. Mary was chosen. Just like you and I are chosen. And we're not divine. And what Elizabeth recognized was the blessing that was on Mary was in Mary, which was the Christ child. So when she says, blessed are you. And understand that the way that the Jewish culture worked that in the writing, that the second blessing justifies the first. And so the second blessing here is blessed is the child you will bear. And that justifies the first part is blessed are you among women. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and she couldn't help but sing. She was singing God's praises. And see, that's the blessing of Christmas. The blessing of Christmas is that we are instruments of God chosen to sing God's praises. We are chosen by God to be instruments to sing his praises. And in the middle of this, and I really love Elizabeth, I feel like she kind of had a reality check, a real moment. She's singing the song and then she says, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She kind of had that moment like, what did I do to have the mother of my Lord come to me? She recognized that something bigger was going on, that it was bigger than her own divine pregnancy in an old age. She says, what did I do? I know I'm unworthy that I am in the presence of my Lord. In that moment, she was overwhelmed by grace. She was overwhelmed by God's presence and God's grace. She could not believe, because she knew who she was, that God would do such a thing. And it wasn't that God divinely allowed her to be pregnant. She was overwhelmed. I'm in the presence of God. I am in the presence of his grace. So here's my question. When was the last time we were overwhelmed by God's grace and presence in our life? When's the last time you went, why is God doing this? Why am I so blessed? What did I can't have done anything to deserve it. When's the last time we actually step back and we're overwhelmed by grace? I know what it is to be overwhelmed. All of us know what it is to be overwhelmed in life. You can be overwhelmed with your kids, overwhelmed with work, overwhelmed with Christmas shopping. But when's the last time we were overwhelmed by God's grace and God's presence? I remember years ago when I was in my early 20s and I moved to Orlando from Philadelphia, and I didn't have the opportunity to go home for Christmas. You know, I wasn't making any money to buy a plane ticket and my parents just weren't in that position. And so there were a couple of Christmases where I didn't go home. There were no decorations in my little studio apartment. And I even for a while was a tabletop engineer. Code for that is busboy, but tabletop engineer sounds a whole lot better. At least it did when I told girls what I was doing. And so there were some Christmases that I worked, and that's what I did. And so I remember one year I was frustrated. I wanted to go home for Christmas. I hadn't had the opportunity. And two people that I knew on their own without even talking to each other, both of them went out and bought me a plane ticket to go home. They didn't coordinate. They didn't talk. They just recognized that I was a young kid in my early 20s, and I was homesick. And they both went out at Christmas time and bought me a plane ticket. I was so overwhelmed by God's grace and God's presence because I sure didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything. I wasn't anybody special. I was just me, a sinner. And I was overwhelmed by God's grace. You know, have you had those moments? Maybe it's when your child was born. You know, if you go back to that moment, you know, ladies, obviously you were there. But as dads, that moment when your child is born, you're so overwhelmed by God's grace and God's presence in your life. And you think, what did I do to deserve this? That's where Elizabeth was. That's where Mary was. See, they realized that they were chosen to be instruments of God's love, to sing his praises. They were heralds of hope. They were, you know, heralds go out and they sing and they proclaim things, and that's really what Elizabeth and Mary and John the Baptist were. They were heralds of God's hope, the coming of the Messiah. John would be preparing the way. Elizabeth would give birth. Mary would give birth to the Messiah. They were overjoyed. They were overwhelmed, but they were not going to be overlooked as instruments of God's grace. as instruments of God's love. They weren't good enough. They weren't satisfied just to be an ornament, just to look pretty and shiny and say, look at me, I know God. They said, no, I'm going to actively be an instrument. And listen to how Elizabeth ends this. She says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. She recognized that she's blessed. She recognizes that Mary's blessed. Why? Because they can be instruments. They can be heralds of God's hope. That they can sing God's praises. When you go through the Gospel of Luke, this is one of five little songs that sing the adoration about Jesus Christ. We see it in Zechariah, we see it in Elizabeth, we see it in Mary, we see it in so many others. And she's so excited. And when you really stop and take a look at Elizabeth's life for a minute, the fact that the most powerful thing in her life is that she's in the presence of her little cousin who's carrying the Messiah, and she's not jealous, she's not bitter. Think about it. Her husband was the first person to hear a word from God in 400 years. That's kind of a big deal. She probably would put that up on Facebook, right? Husband just heard from God. Hey, lots of likes. And then she becomes divinely pregnant. And her son has an anointing on him that he's going to prepare the way. Post that on Facebook. My son's awesome. Look what he did. Right? I mean, all these things. But the thing that she was more overjoyed about was that she was in the presence of God and that God chose her, but that God chose Mary. And she just praises Mary. She says, Mary, I'm so glad because you believe and trust in God's promise. You believe that God's going to do what he's going to do. And when you believe that, you're filled with joy and the Holy Spirit, and you become an instrument. She ends by saying, blessed is he who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. We talked last week about the promise of Christmas. The blessing of Christmas that we're talking about today is that you and I have been chosen, like Mary, like Elizabeth, like John the Baptist, to be instruments, not ornaments, to be instruments of God's love, that we can let people know about the hope that is in Jesus. And so we sing his praises. We gather every week, every Sunday, every church, and when we sing, we don't do it so that we bring ourselves joy, we do it to bring God praise. Every week when we sing, our music is not about us, it's about him. It's about praising God. It's about magnifying God. It's about glorifying God. We sing his praises because we know that we have the privilege to be chosen to be instruments of his grace. So I want to encourage you, we've got to give that away. There are so many people that are closing their garage doors. They think the blessing of Christmas is a 50% off sale at Best Buy. And that is kind of a nice blessing. But it's not the blessing of Christmas. And maybe some of us in here, we've kind of put our garage door down a little bit. Say, not a big deal. People know I go to church. They know I'm a Christian. I don't need to tell anybody. When you go home today, look at your Christmas tree as if you have them up. And just say, am I an ornament or am I an instrument? And if you can say, I know that I'm an instrument, then go and tell people the blessing of Christmas. Sing the praises of God. Because God chose you and chose me to be his instruments of hope and love to the world. Amen? Amen. One of the ways that...